Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a public service announcement on behest of me. I'd like to recall last week's show when I walked out because I had a former friend bug me at home because I spilt the beans on his wrongdoings to his girlfriend. He came over and started to make idle threats while I was doing the show. So I had to leave and talk to him a little bit, but when I talked to him, he was drunk again and proceeded to make some more idle threats again. I will not explain what happened beforehand. However, I would just like to say to the listeners that listened to the show last week, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I walked out, and I'm sorry for having the nervous breakdown 5 minutes before the show was done. I am a professional, and we will start to continue the show now. We'd like to welcome you all to the North American Wrestling Connection. Joining me tonight is the Road Weary Nikki Heyman.
Three cities and a little bit of television.
The number named fourth, or is this VRM?
This is fourth right now.
All right. And the blackjack busting Jason Block.
There you go. $1,000 richer, but I'll take it.
Yep. And although I didn't see the show, I will take a look at it on the... If you didn't see it today, you can catch the replay on it. Saturday night on Game Show Network, 10 o'clock.
What, they repeat this show at tomorrow night at 10?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Cool.
They repeat your show Saturday night, 10 o'clock.
You're absolutely 100% sure about this?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Well, and I'll be watching because, A, I'll probably have the TV and computer all day because tomorrow I turn 22.
Hooray!
Yay!
And what we were going to do today, and if the instance of last week hadn't have occurred, this week would have been a special Have I Got News for You edition. Because of the instance last week, we decided to postpone that and thought that you deserved an honest, clean, decent show. And if you are looking for that honest, clean, decent show, good luck.
I was going to say, what show have we been doing for the last year?
Exactly.
That's right. Me and Nikki have been doing this show for the past year.
This is an actual
starting in September, it'll be year two.
Wow, good for you guys.
It's been fun so far.
And I came into late in the game, which is going to be kind of, but you know what, it's fun.
Yes, coming in late in the game also reminds me of Boris Johnson, who deserves to have his neck broken. And speaking on broken necks, or something akin, we now turn to the headlines and our own intrepid Mark Thompson impersonator, Jason Block.
Okay, let's rewind to last Saturday's house show in New York City. It was a sold-out Madison Square Garden, and the lineup had changed many times. What happened was the semi-main event of the evening was John Cena and Batista teaming against Chris Jericho and Kane. It was supposed to be Batista versus Kane and Cena versus Chris Jericho in a one-on-one match. But it turned out that Batista was doing most of the work, and John Cena did very little except maybe an FU on Kane and little stuff like that. And I really didn't pay much attention to it. I was just having a good time. I'm surfing around the internet, as I'm wont to do. And PW Insider breaks the story that John Cena was working with an aggravated neck injury. Then the story breaks later in the day that John Cena's neck injury is a lot worse off than it actually was. and then, which we will go on later on during the day, it is found out that he is going to go to see doctors in Pittsburgh and Texas Tuesday and Wednesday. Later on that Monday, it is explained that due to the Batista bombs, which we'll get to the Raw later on, but due to the quote-unquote Batista bombs, he had neck injuries that could not compete in the Raw scramble, so you knew something was up. It was announced later that day or early Tuesday morning that he was going to have surgery on his neck. Tuesday morning he was examined by doctors at the University of Pittsburgh. Dr. Maroon determined that there was a disc fragmentation on his neck, in his neck, because due to some sort of injury that he suffered. Cena basically said he was losing 20% of his strength every day. So Tuesday, he had successful removal of a fragment of his disc in his neck, an hour and a half surgery. He will be out approximately 3 months, a very lucky man if you ask me, especially with the surgeries of Chris Benoit, Edge, Steve Austin, and others, Lita, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
Yes, you are correct. Alita did have the surgery.
And you also said Rhino as well?
Yes.
Yeah, Rhino.
Rhino as
I
well.
I think Rhino was after.
Yes, but it was all the neck fusion surgery, not, and of course, Kurt Angle's type of surgery as well. What is amazing to me was the story that I read on WWE.com that Tuesday after the surgery, an hour and a half later, he was standing in the locker room, greeting the workers, saying, "I'm okay, I'm coming back." He's a freak. He is an absolute freaking nut job.
And I can verify that for you, by the way.
Oh, you can.
I was at Pittsburgh for the SmackDown ECW tapings, and apparently Cena had actually left the locker room at some point. Several fans did see him.
Okay.
Despite any accusations that he has that we can't. They came running back into the arena down by my section saying, "John Cena's in the building. What's he going to do tonight?"
Uh-huh.
And we thought they were just pulling our legs, and a couple people came back to us and said, "No, he's back, and he poked his head out over on this particular side." I did not see him personally, but I had enough people say, "Yes, he's here," for me to say, "Okay, they're not bullshitting me."
Now, two things. Number one, he's a very lucky man just to have disc fragmentation in his neck. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Number two, he's a physical freak. He must be in incredible condition.
He is in incredible condition. And I'm referencing the My Life John Cena DVD thing. Yes, I watched it.
Yes.
Because it was free on WWE 24/7. That's the only reason why I would watch it.
Right.
Because I have no drive to buy a 3-disc John Cena set.
But go on.
Yeah. It's been documented that he has kept himself in really tip-top physical condition all of his life. He was a workout freak and took really good care of himself in his teens, 20s. Even when he got to the WWE, he still kept himself training almost every day when he could. So that's why you see him coming back from injuries a little bit earlier than we normally think, because if we remember back about 10 months ago when he dropped the WWE title, we were told that his shoulder tear would take about 6 months to heal.
Tear.
He came back, huh?
Pec tear?
Yeah, pec tear.
Right.
It would be about 4 months. He came back in around 2.5 months in time for the Royal Rumble.
Right, what I was there for, which was nuts. But
so was I.
Oh, you were there?
Yes, sir.
That was an awesome crowd. But again, we wish John Cena a speedy recovery, seriously.
Absolutely.
You do not want to see a neck injury, you know, on anyone.
Mm-mm. No.
And,
unless his name is Randy Orton.
Oh.
No, even him. I wouldn't even wish it on him. Although I still giggle at his aggravated collarbone injury and 300 feet.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So that was, excuse me, that was the biggest news of the week. And the second biggest news will happen, which happened on Raw, which we'll get to in a minute.
Right,
so
also.
Robert, one second, I'm sorry. What do you think of the injury and its impact?
What do I think?
Yes.
Well, it's not as big of an impact now as it would have been, say, 2 years ago. Cena has not been even, you know, has teased it going after the title again, but hasn't really gotten his hands on it. He's in the same spot that Triple H was in between WrestleMania 21 and after WrestleMania 23. In the hunt, never quite getting there. This is a good, there's no such thing as a good time for an injury, but this is actually a good time in Cena's case. He'll be back, you know, he could be back. He'll be back for next year's Rumble, and we can just pick up where we left off. After all, Cena Batista is what's the big tease for WrestleMania. This is a great way to rest that feud until Cena returns from his injury.
It would be, yeah. So go on, Robert.
Second injury report of the day goes to what I like to consider the Glass Joe of the World Wrestling Federation.
Colin Delaney?
Oh. No.
I would have said Ashley, but she's gone.
Mr. Injury! Injury! Well, King Kennedy had surgery on his arm. Shoulder tear, I believe.
It seems like about a year goes by without him either getting injured or getting in trouble.
Or him hurting somebody else.
Yeah.
He's the one who actually put Cena out last year, not Orton.
That is true.
Yep.
The storyline was Orton. The truth was, it was Kennedy.
Kennedy, yeah.
But, yeah, he had a torn labrum, which is, or rotator cuff, removed, you know. But, again, this is, you know, he's had an injury bug, and, you know, I don't know about this. You know, I mean, I feel for the guy. I mean, he has a ton of potential, but all his injuries have just really hurt his, it's been stop, start, all that sort of stuff.
And unfortunately, with potential being the longest dirty word in the wrestling world, this could really start writing Kennedy off because, like you said, it's been stop and start. You know, we get somewhere with him and something goes wrong. It's almost like Billy Gunn.
Yeah, but unfortunately with Billy Gunn, he at least took care of himself. He had a good long stretch of him being healthy. I'd like to say from the Rockabilly days till when he became King Ass.
Before I was watching.
Yeah, King Ass was the 99 King of the Ring, which I like to deem the worst. No, I can't
do
that. Mabel was the worst.
Mabel was the worst, and
King Ass second.
No. The 99 King of the Ring was very cool. Or was that the one where Kurt Angle wrestled Shane McMahon?
That was 2000.
Okay, that was 2000. Okay. All right. Anyway.
He will be out 4 to 6 months. However, it was rumored that his contract would be up in about 2 to 3 months near the end of the year, and he would probably get released shortly afterwards. Greatly exaggerated.
I was going to say.
It was reported earlier today that Ken Kennedy actually signed a new contract in June, and he said, quote, "I will not be going anywhere," close quote.
Yay.
Sadly, he was talking about his push.
Oh.
Anywhere.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is his push, all right.
I think King Kennedy is doomed to mid-card hell.
You know, and that's kind of sad, because let me tell you something. The guy's got a ton of talent. He really does.
And he's a rare natural speaker.
He
wrestles a good enough match, but he blows people away on the mic. He's one of the few guys that just tear you up one side and down the other in a good promo.
But, you got to stay healthy, because that's how you get pushed.
Yep.
Too bad for him, but, two surgeries this week.
And that's what, injury number 5 for Kennedy?
4 or 5, something?
Yeah.
Something like that, unless it could be higher if you want to count who he's injured.
No, just injuries to himself is what we'll count.
All right.
Okay. With that said, let's move on to something, let's move on to something a little more entertaining, something a little more delightful, and something that really should just stick to the USA Network. We got Raw recaps, ladies and gentlemen.
And even though they were over on Sci-Fi, I think most people found that the ratings dip was minor at best. I think they went from 3 to 8.
Great sign, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Very good sign for that.
But still, Raw can't say they beat Monday Night Football.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Again, we don't need a masturbatory circle jerk, as I said last week. It's just... We just don't.
Hmm.
All right, it is what it is.
On with the show.
Sorry.
Dark match. D'Lo Brown defeated Jake Hager. Looks like he is in the new dark match position. Looks like he is getting creatively worked on. He will get a push sometime soon. Be brought up. I think the Law of Reversals starts up here for the new guys. The ones who normally do Raw dark matches and house shows usually debut on SmackDown.
Well, Hager, when we get to SmackDown, I'll tell you why Hager's not going to get that debut.
D'Lo Brown beat him. And then what has to be one of the best matches or match of the week, CM Punk and John Bradshaw Layfield. They gave these guys about 20, 25 minutes, and they put it to the limit.
It was a fun opener. Definitely a fun opener.
Actually, not my match of the week this week.
Not? Okay.
But it's up there. I'll give you that.
JB actually connected with his clothesline from hell. And I just got to receive a note from VRM. He will be appearing shortly.
Cool.
Excellent.
But CM Punk had got his arm on the rope to break the count. JBL became frustrated and tried to, pummel him with a chair, but CM Punk found another way to do it and just gave JBL to go to sleep and won the match. And hold on, something is not right here. I think I know what's not right.
Me?
World Heavyweight Champion begins the shows?
No, just shutting the door. I might get another sweet and sour Jack in the Box sauce pack thrown at me this next week.
Okay.
Don't worry, Sweeney, keep it down.
I wish it was Larry Sweeney. Jufro, brother-in-arms. Then Mike Adamly announced that John Cena suffered a severely herniated disc.
It's like Batista's the spine buster. He doesn't just give them. He is the spine buster.
Yes. That's good. Yes, he found the Game Genie code, yeah.
And the Game Genie code is INJRECNA.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Okay. That's good.
Well, you had to break the one invincible opponent. Come on.
And then Adam Lee announces that he's going to announce a replacement for Cena.
Yes. And then Cave delivered a great backstage promo. And then Mike Adamly apologized to Primo Colon for disrespecting him next week, and Primo accepted the apology. He said it was nothing like his brother Carlito. Primo said that he is a jerk to everybody, even his family. And then Shawn Michaels showed up and asked where Chris Jericho was. Adamly said Jericho has a champion and told Michaels to take all the time that he needs.
No, but the best line of that was when he asked Shawn Michaels how his wife was. The look that he gave on him was priceless.
I love that look. People were joking about whether or not Adam Lee was sleeping with her.
Kelly then defeats Beth Phoenix. Santino Marilla tried to interfere on behalf of his girlfriend, but it backfired. And they ended up helping Kelly score an upset victory.
Yeah, that was great.
I was waiting for Beth to just kill Santino.
Which he did after the match.
And speaking about Santino getting killed by Beth Phoenix, we welcome somebody who witnesses that every Wednesday night on UFC Unleashed, our resident MMA correspondent, VRM.
Yeah, so two things. One, I couldn't find my backpack, my laptop.
You're echoing like crazy.
Yeah, you are way turned up. Somebody turn him down.
I don't have any volume control. He has to do that on his own.
Better?
Much better.
Yeah. So, VRM, how about that Rampage Jackson? Oh.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, okay. I'll shut up now because I know I'm going to get something thrown at me in a second.
I know all that Rampage. And yep. I think it's fair on his part.
Mr. Seidelman, please continue.
We had Primo Colon's debut.
Poor Charlie Haas.
Are you kidding? That was amazing.
Not Charlie Haas.
Charlito.
Charlito!
Charlito! Hey, Charlie.
Okay.
Finally, it's a win for
WWE
Charlie.
WWE Creative came up with something creative.
Charlie got on TV. That's creative in itself.
Oh,
yep.
God.
So what's his new gimmick? He dresses up as people the company barely pushes anymore?
Yes.
Why not? Big Show made a career out of it for a while.
He could dress as Val Venus next.
I'll take Charlie Haas in a towel.
Charlie Haas as Funaki. I am SmackDown's number one announcer.
No, it's Monday Night Raw, number one announcer! And then we get a great promo between Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho.
Okay, first of all, Rob, great does not even begin to describe this promo.
Greatness doesn't even begin to describe this feud.
No.
Exactly.
I mean, first of all, you looked, everything about this promo was golden. From the expressions of both Jericho and Michaels, I loved his controlled rage. His about to lose it sort of match. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And just Jericho's disgust and disdain for him. It's just absolute brilliant it's a primer on how to do a promo, if you ask me.
The one thing that I liked is, I don't know if anybody intentionally thought of this, any of the creative people, but Chris Jericho in December was in the position that Shawn Michaels is in now, on not in terms of character, but the way during that promo that Michaels was in the ring, and now Jericho was on the monitor.
I'm confused. What do you mean?
Well, you remember how JBL didn't appear on Raw, that he just appeared, well, somewhat cowardly on the Titantron? Well, now Jericho's like that. He's sort of become the enemy of sorts.
Isn't that the point?
I'm just saying, I don't know if they thought of it that way, if they thought that far back into the past or something with the character. But I liked it, though.
I loved it. I thought it was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Then we get a
That promo led to an unsanctioned match at Unforgiven, by the way.
Right.
You know, which is, you know, which has to be the blow off of the feud. And I hope they let them just beat the shit out of each other for 25 minutes. And I mean literally beat the shit out of each other.
I want to be bled on.
Yeah.
This match. I will be there.
What seat do you have?
Fifth row camera side. I think they're closer to camera left. Let me check with Sean.
She was one row away from getting a chair. Are you getting the Unforgiven chair, or were you one row short?
No, actually, I will get a chair.
Yay!
Sweet.
It's going to have Dave on it. Werewolf Dave. Look at the Unforgiven poster, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
I think you've seen more like the Incredible Hulk for some reason.
That too.
And my brother's got smacked on the TV out here right now. Women's tag team title match. Maryse, and I believe that's Natalia versus Maria and
Michelle.
Yeah. Okay. You're right behind the Steelers, right?
Yeah, I am. But, and the only time you're going to see me is during the close-up late in the show. And there's a guy in a baseball cap and a red and white shirt in front of me bitching at me because I was telling him to sit his ass down. I don't care if it was Ben freaking Roethlisberger. I can't see around him.
Hold on a second.
If it was Roethlisberger, tell him to wear a helmet.
Whoa. Save it for 20 minutes. We'll get to that.
Sorry.
Yes. Cody Rhodes and DiBiase Jr. beat the King in Hacksaw.
Well, you know what? You know what I liked about this, by the
what?
Way? They actually set this up with the footage. This didn't come out of nowhere. You know? Raw is usually not good at this. They actually showed the footage of the slap, which is cool.
That it is. I knew that we wouldn't be getting a 5-star match, but I enjoyed what it was. And so I thought it was an all right match.
Yeah, but they missed out on one key piece of footage.
That is.
Cole replacing Duggan?
Yeah, Cole getting his lights knocked out.
But yes, after the match, go ahead, Rob.
Crime Time shows up in the upper deck. Start doing their shtick, and then they challenge DiBiase and Rhodes for the World Tag Team titles to a title match at Unforgiven. And guess what? They accepted it for Unforgiven.
Yay! Crime Time's finally getting the team title match they wanted since January of 2007.
I was going to say, Crime Time acts like they suddenly won like 5,000 number one contenders matches. Wait your turn like everyone else.
Well, they won them like right after New Year's Revolution and got dropped because of all the crap that happened at that one house show with them and the Cowboys.
Yes, and by the way, we know what happened to Wayne Cowboy. He got released. Where the hell has Cade been?
Nursing a broken nose.
And also, he actually worked. He beat D'Lo Brown during the house shows this weekend. So.
Okay.
Oh, okay, so he'll be back on TV starting probably right after Unforgiven.
Then we get to a Batista promo, yada, yada, yada. Then Santino Morella defeats Kofi Kingston. Santino Morella goes because expecting Beth Phoenix to come out and finish and kick in his ass. Well, he decided to leave, but guess what? Beth Phoenix comes down and pushes him back inside the ring. Then Beth trips up Kofi Kingston. He hits his head on Santino's knee, and Santino scores the 1-2-3.
If you remember, the look on her face was priceless because she had the bloody nose earlier in the match.
Yep. After the match, Beth backs Santino into the corner of the ring and planted a kiss right on his lips. Santino turned around and put Beth in the corner and gave her a big kiss. And then Jerry Lawler finally, well, it's been 5 months, so he can pull out a funny line. Jerry Lawler said it was Beauty and the Beast, but Santino was the beauty.
That's not right.
And it's not true.
Although, if you want to go by the Disney interpretation, the fact that Beth Phoenix can kick anybody's ass and Santino can't.
That is true.
And by the way, what they're doing, is, again, this is great stuff. The fact that he is, you know, Santino is playing the pussy whipped, you know, pussy whipped guy, and Beth is the man of the house, so to speak.
Well, she does wear the pants.
Yes, but you know what I mean, right?
I know
Santino wears the singlet.
So it's cool. I like that.
Also, by the way, breaking news, Josh Matthews still has a job with the WWE.
Yay.
Yay. But they shaved his head.
He's a Macho Man, so that's how he stayed employed for so long.
And unfortunately, Candice Michelle still has a job.
But you're going to fight. In her defense, it's at least putting her in the right place. When she does come back to TV, she's going to SmackDown.
Good. I just need to do one more trade then. Replace Kelly Kelly with Michelle McCool.
No.
Then,
no. Kelly Kelly's been improving.
Is she going to bring the Monarch belt with her?
No.
Hold on a sec, guys. I'm sorry.
No, because what Natalia Neidhart would do is she would just rip off the face of that belt. You know what she would pull out?
What's that?
She would pull out the shimmer belt. She would slyly under mask with assistance from Gabe Sapolsky, who runs Shimmer, would win the match unmasked. It says, "I'm taking this to the WWE." Boo! Instant heel heat. So on SmackDown, Vince and Gabe, in collusion, Michelle McCool loses to Natalya Neidhart for the title. Natalya grabs the belt.
And throws it in the trash.
Rips off the diva butterfly.
Wait, she can't do the Shane Douglas promo though, because the only name she can run down is Michelle McCool.
But she can make fun of all the quote unquote women wrestlers on that show.
And then whips out the shimmer belt. This belt resembles true women wrestling.
Woohoo!
I like it.
And in another bust moment, General Manager Mike Hamley announces John Cena's replacement. And it's Ray Ray.
Whoa! I protest that.
I am going to continue
to protest that.
Rey Mysterio does not belong in the main event title picture.
Yes, he does.
He does not.
Yes, he does.
Sorry, guys, you there?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm just worried that Ray's going to be 6'4", 260 pounds, and from West Newbury, Mass.
Oh,
Rey Mysterio has every right to be in the main event.
Oh, I agree.
And I have no problem with him being John Cena's replacement. They needed a face. They needed somebody who was just as popular with that fan base.
The
He's kiddie. A perfect replacement.
He won't win.
As
but
much as I would love to have Chris Jericho or Shawn Michaels there, they're busy.
Just got word from DJ. He has stories to talk about SmackDown ACW on Tuesday.
What's up?
Wasn't DJ with you in Pittsburgh?
Yes, he was. But he was there in the morning, so he got to do all his recruiting. Lucky Stiff, he met Vicky Guerrero.
Ha ha
ha. Did he yell out, excuse me, into her face and say, how do you like it?
Well, if I was there, I would have done it. Then I would have also given her my Eddie Guerrero tribute picture.
Yeah?
Also, in the main event, Batista defeated Kane by disqualification.
And completely no-sold that knee injury.
Yep.
Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. That Batista-Kane match kicked ass.
It was good.
That actually was like one of my favorite matches this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just wondering how far, because I knew that it wasn't going to be just like a straight pinfall win in that sense. It would at least end in some sort of a brawl, and I did like the aftermath of the brawl when they were both attacking each other with the same chair.
And now let's briefly run down ECW.
ECW was pretty cool this week.
I was not at this ECW.
She was at the one for last week.
No, I'm at the one for next week.
Yeah, next week.
This taping schedule kind of...
And Vicky throws the phone into the wall.
But did you see what she hit?
What'd she hit?
The magazine cover with Undertaker on it, glaring down at her.
Did the Undertaker cover's eyes move when she walked away from it?
That's the only thing that was missing from this, from these little segments of her being locked in the office. We need some purple lights and smoke, too.
I think the real reason she was locked in was Neely probably put a door, like a chair under the door just to keep her locked in there.
No, the clones did it to get her back.
Right. I am looking up the ECW. Here they are. The results for ECW, they don't have them posted on Online World of Wrestling. Because since the website is Canadian, they get ECW now. Here we go. Quickly, Tiffany introduces Theodore Long and announces their scramble match. Great. An ECW scramble match.
Lovely.
I'm hoping the sense of, like, the way No Way Out was with the two Elimination Chamber matches were actually great, because I'm kind of iffy on the idea of three scrambles.
You know what? I mean, the only scramble match that I'm really interested in is the SmackDown one.
Yeah.
Because that's got the new talent in there.
Yeah.
It's got quite a bit of talent in there, too.
It worries me, though, that the Evil Doc will walk away with it anyway.
Yeah. Let's see here. And what has to be the biggest bust, the second biggest bust of the night.
Oh, boy.
Matt Hardy beats John Morrison.
Whoa! Hey, okay. Sorry.
I said second biggest.
No. I don't
First
think
of all, it wasn't Matt Hardy and Morrison. It was Miz. And then you can play that sound effect again.
You mean when the Miz beats Evan Bourne?
that I agree with.
That is also a fail.
Yeah.
That is a huge fail.
I thought it's good at the Buddhist man too.
I just like how this and SmackDown, they had to create qualifiers. Adam Lee just named the people in the match.
That's because Adam Lee is kind of smart. He just picked the four best competitors for Punk. Not named Chris Jericho. Not named Shawn Michaels.
Just all the people that have been chasing Punk around and interrupting his matches.
Yeah. Chavo Guerrero beats Tommy Dreamer. Surprise, surprise.
Ooh, but oh well.
And Finley beats Mike Knox.
Yay!
So we might have a title change.
Did anybody see that kid with the Santa hat at the end?
Hmm?
No,
when,
I didn't.
Finley and the leprechaun, they were dancing in the middle of the ring. They brought some kids in from the audience, and one of them was wearing a Santa hat.
Oh,
wow.
Uh-huh.
This looks so out of place.
I can tell my story about Finley Hornswoggle and kids from the Pittsburgh show.
What were they doing?
Well, Hornswoggle brought like three or four kids into the ring, and he started running around in a circle, and Finley was chasing them. So then Tommy gets in the ring and runs around with them. Then Evan gets in the ring and runs around with them. Then I think Matt got in the ring and ran around with them. And then Charles Robinson got in the ring and said, "Will you guys get out of here so we can change the ropes?"
Okay, we'll quickly do the TNA Impact review. Why? Because I was busy Thursday night. I was with friends. We were playing video games. And we were watching. And Jason and Nikki and anybody that watches BBC America, we were watching something better than Impact. Dragon's Den.
No, I actually was flipping back and forth between Impact and, I believe, the Democratic National Convention and all that other stuff.
I was flipping back between Impact and college football.
Oh, that's what I was doing. That's right, college football. That was it.
What was I flipping back and forth between? It certainly wasn't the convention. Oh, that's right, there were like three pro games on, so I was flipping back and forth between pro football and... an Impact.
Now, I just got to say one thing before quickly we go into the Impact. No matter what your political affiliation, I think it's pretty damn cool that come November we're either going to be electing a woman or an African American guy to be in the White House. I just think it's pretty damn cool. You know, whatever your affiliation are.
Gentlemen, what do you got about Impact?
Yeah, Impact. Awesome Kong defeated a female build from Memphis, Tennessee. The spoilers didn't catch the ring name. Who was this?
Hold on. I'm pulling it up. Just hold on.
I like how they mentioned Gail Kim during the match.
No, because ODB attacked Kong until the referees pulled her off.
Sojourner Bolt is her name.
Who?
Sojourner Bolt.
Interesting. Okay. Consequences Korean Jay Lethal defeated Petey Williams and Sheik Abdul-Bashir.
Well, you missed a couple of things. Basically, Kong was about to really destroy Bolt, and then Kong is about to set up for an awesome bomb, but ODB... plays, and ODB attacks Saeed, and ODB choked out Kong at this. Setting up
the referees had to pull her off.
Right, okay, and basically there was an AJ Styles promo talking about...
Yeah, he wants Trigg.
He wants Kurt, you know, and also AJ is going to wrestle Christian Cage next week for the fourth final spot of the, what is it, Four for the Glory, I believe is the name of the matches?
Yeah.
Always to Glory.
Go ahead. You have a rough cut with Consequences Creed, and then go ahead.
Curryman defeats Jimmy Rave.
okay.
Yeah, yes, but again, and then you also had a really bizarre promo with Abyss and Karen's angle, which was a little nutty.
Yeah.
And then you had another Velvet Sky promo and Kurt Angle and Frank Trigg promo.
Match.
And
then we get a Kurt Angle versus Kevin Nash match.
Quad hair.
Seriously, that please press the fail button.
Yeah. Fail button press activated.
Woo! Thank you.
Shut up, Flair. The beautiful people defeated Taylor Wilde and Roxy after Velvet shot hairspray in Roxy's eyes.
May I say that they have finally found a good use for Billy Gunn?
Yeah, one more feminine weirdo gimmick and he gets a free sub.
Harvey Whippleman was jealous.
Uh-huh.
Yes, because the best that Harvey Whippleman could do was Bertha Fay.
Yeah, but now Billy Gunn has a shot at the Knockout title.
Which is pretty much the only title that he'll ever win in TNA.
Yep. Go on.
Kip James paper bags Roxy, which actually the paper bag does look better than Roxy, because I'm getting tired of the Shinya Okada note. And they threaten to cut Wild's hair, but then Rhino hits the ring for the save, which will probably set up a crappy six-man between the beautiful people and Kip James versus Taylor Wilde, Rex Laveau, and Rhino. No disrespect to Rhino, but it takes a hell of a man to carry Kip James in the match, and unfortunately, Rhino is not that man.
Well, Rhino at least knows where the handles are. They're called lats. Sorry, that's rude.
Speaking of him, where the hell is he?
Mm-hmm. And then Sting, the infamous Sting promo.
Oh, man.
Didn't see it.
Did not
see it. I saw it.
Oh, I saw it.
Am I the only one that expects him to face somebody and then we get a weird moment trying to rip off, I'm sorry, I love you?
Here's what the spoilers say. Sting comes to the ring, talks about his actions. He says that the Young Stars don't have respect, so he's going to show them respect. He says he got involved in Joe's match against Booker T in Houston because Joe could have simply beaten Booker, but Joe tried to take it too far and disrespect the legend and flipped off Sting. Sting said he used to see Joe as the future of TNA, but he can't be if he does things like that. Sting says that Ric Flair showed him respect when we were young in that classic 45-minute Clash of the Champions match. Sting calls out any of the young names if they have a problem with what he had to say, and we get Styles.
Right.
This is Styles disrespecting him by calling him a coward and took his match with Kurt Angle too far as well. But guess what? AJ says they helped build TNA from the beginning, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
Sting, wasn't AJ there for the first show?
I believe so.
Sting offers to give Styles his back for AJ to hit him from behind. AJ ponders, takes the bat, but turns Sting around to face him. Sting counters and nails the death drop.
Yep.
And then Jeff Jarrett's music plays to end the segment.
And the show.
On the show.
On the show.
And we've got 10 minutes before the archive, so let's go right into SmackDown.
We'll do SmackDown after Morons of the Week, because I'm almost done with Impact.
Okay.
Beer Money beats the Prince Justice Brotherhood, LAX, including the returning Homicide, wearing an eye patch, attack Beer Money afterwards.
Really? That didn't happen on the show.
When was that?
I didn't.
Didn't happen?
I don't know.
That's next week, I think.
No, this is this week's show.
No,
but they didn't air that.
Oh.
Maybe it's like the way WWE.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Maybe they're having a dark match at the end of the evening, like WWE is doing now.
They did an angle where 3D and Giant Divine caught out Abyss for getting soft. They did some comedy spots where Abyss worked over Divine, but 3D attacked him, and then Matt Morgan makes the save.
Doesn't sound familiar at all.
Are we sure this isn't next week's spoilers?
No, because we just because this was the tapings from Monday.
Right, and they tape more than one show.
Right, the same segment ended the show.
Yes.
So it looks like they were oh, now I get it. They taped one show and a half. Hold on, now this is fucked up by TNA even by TNA standards. They taped a show and a half on Monday, and then on Tuesday they taped another show and a half.
Okay, so everyone ignore what you just heard after Sting. Everything after Sting, just ignore it.
What the hell are they going to do with the audience? They're going to be wearing different clothes the next day if any of them show up.
That's going to be the same crowd anyway. Nobody will notice.
Yeah. The same 800 people.
Yep.
Okay, now it's time for what is fastly becoming the show's greatest quiz sensation. Will it float? No.
What a knucklehead!
Thank you, audience.
Yes.
One of the week time, and that means we need our... Oh, Sparky! Thank you. And now, one of the week, number one, we turn to the illustrious, the inquisitive, the in Columbus, Ohio, Nikki Haman.
You forgot infamous, but that's okay. My
no, because you haven't. No, because you haven't taken a picture of yourself yet. Remember, there has to be two of you in order for you to become infamous.
Let's see. Well, my morons of the week are multiple, and that is idiot fans. And you know who you are. I doubt any of you are listening. But at Erie, at Canton, and in Pittsburgh, there were fans that were just flat out pissing me off. Erie, Pennsylvania, I run into two guys who are enormous edgeheads. I have no problem with edge fans. I have a problem with edge fans that know 100% true that it edge is not going to be there, edge is not going to show up, edge is not going to be a surprise guest, edge is not doing anything for the house show. And you chant for edge all fucking night.
Were they drinking?
No.
Okay, so they were just stupid.
Yes, and I told them this. They did this to the point that during the main event, which was MVP and Kali versus Triple H and The Undertaker, I could see that Undertaker was getting visibly upset that these guys couldn't get into the match. He did his final poses and left. Did not stop to slap hands with anybody. He just left. And I would have followed him. Idiot fans number two, and I know these guys. I was in Canton, and there's these two idiots who decided that they were going to root for the wrong guys for the sole purpose of getting attention. MVP blew us off in the parking lot, so they decided, oh, great, we have to cheer for MVP now. So between matches, they're cheering for MVP. He's not even out there, they're cheering for MVP. During Carlito's match, they cheered him and praised him and did all this stuff to the point that he got so pissed, he threw his apple at him. But these two would not shut up the entire evening.
Okay, there's a point where, I mean, look, I will root for heels. Like, I will root for Chris Jericho because I think he's very cool.
Right.
But there's a point, you know?
Exactly. And these guys had far, far, far surpassed it to the point that I'm sure everybody around them wanted to beat the shit out of them and get them thrown out of the arena.
Actually, I think there should be a rule that you can do that.
Yes.
I really believe that because I've dealt with moron fans for years. Years. You know, you think that being at a wrestling show gives you the right to be a dick. It does not.
No,
but
it doesn't. And I even told these guys before the show, I said, you guys are just doing this to be assholes. And they said, yes. And I said, this isn't impressing anybody.
And I brought in some reinforcements about the ECW crowd, ladies and gentlemen, arriving just in time, DJ.
DJ? DJ? I don't hear him.
I don't either.
Me neither.
Nope. Now, the third group of fans, this is a minor thing compared to what we just heard. And if you guys are football fans, I apologize, but the Pittsburgh Steelers players disrespected me. These guys had the two rows in front of me, which I was fine with. WWE would be happy to bribe them to have wonderful seats. That's their, you know, that's their prerogative. And there are times during a show where you are allowed to stand up. Entrances, exits, great moves, and when they're on the floor. But as soon as the wrestlers get back in the ring, you sit your ass down. And they were getting mad at me because I was asking them to sit down. Well, guess what, big boy? I don't care if your name is Ben Roethlisberger. You're 6'5", and I cannot even see the Jumbotron when you're standing up. So you're going to sit down so that I can sit down and everybody behind me can sit down and actually see what's going on. And you can get your posh bus and go 3 blocks back to your posh mansion and your trophy wife while I drive through the fucking traffic for 3.5 hours with tickets that I bought on Ticket Crapper with my hard-earned cash. Thank you.
If I didn't have my hand on my cell phone and the other hand on the computer mouse, I'd clap too. But I agree completely.
So, I'm done.
Raw of the week, number two, if we could get in under 90 seconds. It's the welcome return of Quentin Rampage Jackson. Yes, Boo-Earns. As it is found out, he has been he has been convicted?
Indicted.
He was arraigned.
Arraigned on charges. If convicted, he will spend maximum sentence 3 years behind bars.
And yet he's supposedly scheduled to fight on November 15th.
Fail.
What would happen if he's convicted? Like, has someone to sub for him, or will he come down to the ring in handcuffs or the octagon in handcuffs and fight the match?
Depends on his lawyer.
Yeah. And also another moron of the week.
The
Grandmaster Sexy, Brian Lawler, Brian Christopher. He had checked into a rehab center in an unknown location as believed the rehab was being paid by WWE, and his behavior got him kicked out.
Oh, you got to do something really bad to get kicked out of rehab.
He probably walked in the door with stuff in his pocket.
Mm-hmm. And we end the show on that note. We go to the archives for SmackDown, and that'll probably be it. for Jason, Nikki, for VRM, and the silent DJ, and now we're in the archives and I couldn't finish.
Oh, well. Well, I have an interesting moron fan story for you. Another one.
Right.
On the off. And I've been to many a card over 20 years, and there are just fans that will just be dicks for the sake of being dicks. I was at the Meadowlands watching a Raw taping, I believe. It was Raw, one of the two brands, and Batista was fighting Ken Kennedy. And Kennedy was a major heel and Batista was a major face. And he wasn't as good as he is now. So this one fan was basically saying that Batista was a better wrestler than Ken Kennedy was. And he was basically being an annoying prick about it. So my friend Joe, who is an annoying guy, but he will chant for the guys that he wants to chant for. But he's not a dick about it. You know what I mean? But, you know, he's loud. That's cool. So he was chanting, Kennedy, Kennedy, and this guy was going, Batista, Batista. And when Batista won, he said, oh, that proves that Batista's a better wrestler. I was just like, you know, you are just such a dick. People think now that when they're on the Internet, they think that they know what the hell they're talking about. You know?
Sure dog.
I'm sorry?
Share dog.
I assume, Nikki, you've got others.
Well, like I said, it's just, you know, you mentioned that fine line, because I'm somebody who rooted for Triple H all through 2003, where everybody hated him. I know a friend of mine who is just a big Jericho-holic, as you are, and he chanted for Jericho at a show to the point that Jericho got on the microphone, pointed right at him, and stopped chanting for RVD. And he only got louder, which was funny. But when you've got guys that are doing it just for the sake of attention and pissing people off, it just doesn't work. It gets even worse when, you know, even before the show, I ran into somebody who was just an uber, total, fact-addled dick. Talking about, oh, Vince owns TNA, and that's why we're getting all these people back, and he sends them down as like a developmental thing. We argued back and forth when Carlito pulled in. He says, oh, that's not Carlito. And I said, have you seen Carlito in the last few months? No. I said, I have, and that's him. And he refused to admit that I was right. He, you know, he was misleading everybody, giving everybody wrong information, and I was about ready to punch his lights out. And I wish somebody would have been there to help me hold him down long enough to get his lights punched out. If I'd seen him in the arena and Carlito came out, I would have gone over and say, now shut the fuck up and watch the show. It just, people like that really kill me.
I got a moron fan story, or just really a jackass fan story. Jason, was this the Super Show in like July 06 that you went to? But I seem to remember that match, Batista versus Kennedy.
Not sure.
Was Hardcore Holly making his return at that show?
Could have been, yes.
All right. So, this is the same show. Two things for this show. First of all, this got edited out because it was a super show and a taping. And so it was during a tag team match. Scotty and Funaki against two people I don't remember. About half the arena was getting booed. And so instead of chanting booing...
Can you turn it down, please?
I'm trying. All right.
No. Not your phone, VRM. It's the TV out in the front room over here. You said it got turned down to like 15. Which is way too loud. things got turned out like it, so I can actually hear you guys over the phone.
I was about to say, Joe Montaigne, you said it best in Airheads. If it's too loud, you're too old.
Yeah, and I'm 20. Yeah, and in the East Coast, I'm 22.
Yes, you are. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Now, where were we on that story?
So it was a tag team match, Scotty and Funaki against two guys I don't remember. And about half the arena started chanting, "We want Raw! We want Raw!" So they were so bored, they didn't want to see this tag match. Personally, I didn't want to see the tag match. Hell, I almost started chanting it with them, but complete lack of respect there.
I hate when fans do that. See, more. This is what really drives me nuts. The one thing that is the most overused chant is the boring chant.
Right.
I cannot stand it. I think it is disrespectful unless the match is really crappy. Then you can legitimately crap on the match. But if you are 10 seconds into the match, and the match, you know, when you hear boring chants 10 seconds into the match, I want to pull what little hair is out of my head.
This is about, like, 4 minutes into the match, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, that wasn't the only moron fan story. I actually have my own moron of the week induction after this. So moron fan number two. The Raw main event, it was Michaels and Umaga, because this was the build-up to DX versus the McMahons.
Mm-hmm.
And so after Trish gets quote-unquote busted for having Cubans, I've got this one, I'm sitting up in the top row because I'm basically right alone the Titantron. I can't see where the shit my seats. So I go up to the top row, and I'm watching. And everyone started chanting for Triple H. Now, of course, we all know Triple H isn't going to show up, but we all hope for the miracle that he does. And this one jackass who is complete Vince Mark saying, "He's been arrested! He's in jail! He's not coming back for a while!" And it was starting to drive me insane. I just wanted to tell him, "Shut the fuck up, dude, and watch the match!"
Seriously.
You know, I wish I could join you guys in having an experience like that. The closest I can say is a Red Sox game, otherwise that's it.
All right, can I go to my Moron of the Week induction now?
Yes, please.
Okay, my Moron of the Week induction comes from last night. The South Carolina versus North Carolina State football game. It's like the last minute of the game, NC State's trailing by 8. And they have the ball. Their running back, I forget what his name was, but their running back gets the first down, and he's getting knocked out of bounds, and he tries to reach for the end zone. He's about 2 yards away from the end zone, and he tries to reach in. Ball gets knocked away, goes into the end zone, and then out of bounds, and he costs his team the game.
Oh.
Whoops.
By the way, I have some great news for those that watch Around the Horn.
All right.
Jay Mariotti has quit Chicago Sun-Times. Sadly, Jay Mariotti is still on Around the Horn.
Fuck!
Okay. But, okay, so we're talking about moron fans. Outside of the behaviors that we talked about, what are some of the other things that define a moron wrestling fan to you guys?
Somebody who cares about putting himself over more than putting over other talent. Putting over the people. Putting themselves over instead of enjoying the show and cheering for the people. that are in the ring busting their ass for their enjoyment.
Oh, you mean like fans that jump up and down and wave their signs at random intervals whenever they see that the camera's pointed at them?
Yep.
Okay, I will continue doing this, but let me explain when it was. It was during Triple H's long-ass entrance. Philip, you saw this, right? You were in the chat room for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I decided to give the AIM chat some promo. Now, one of our jokes on the AIM chat is Triple H controls AIM, and he buries everyone. Specifically, one of our friends, specifically Edgehead, who's regular on my show. So I bought a sign that said, AIM chat is Edgehead 206. During Triple H's entrance, I hold it up by standing in the middle, and it gets on TV. And the joke now is that Edgehead buried Triple H's entrance. And the funny thing is that immediately after seeing my sign, about 20 people, I am Edgehead, who was in the chat at that point, was like, dude, you were just on Raw, did you see that? What the shit, you were on Raw! How are you there and here at the same time?
Oh, let's see. I've got a big thing about sign waivers, because I admit that I bring signs to shows as well.
I bring signs. I actually bring signs for William Garcia, but that's about it. No.
So,
why am I not surprised?
I only bring a couple of signs, and they only go up during entrances for a reason, because once the match starts, I want to watch the match. I don't care if my sign didn't make it on TV. But I was at a show. I think this was in Columbus, and I got stuck in the lower level, and I'm trying to take pictures of a Shawn Michaels match. There's this little kid in front of me who keeps popping his signs up at random intervals. I had told him several times not to do that because then I can't see, and the camera wasn't on him anyway. Well, something really cool happened in that match, and just as I snapped the picture, his sign went up.
Oh, no.
What's ironic is that on the back of that sign, it said, "You can't see me." I was about ready to throw the kid down the stairs.
That's something out of a sitcom, that bad luck, given what was on the other side of that sign. That is messed up.
That just infuriated me because at that point, you know, I felt insulted.
I really have a big problem with these stupid ass signs. You know, like these self promoting signs. No offense, VRM.
None taken.
But like, you know, like I farted or things like that. And they're just stupid. Just you know, what's the point? I mean,
oh, you mean? I'm thinking of like Don. Well, I can't. I won't insult Don Tony. That's his shtick. But there's the pork and bean signs I see at New York shows all the time.
Well, put it.
No, go ahead. Finish the story, because I remember one story that we talked about on the show that really got your goat.
You can go on. That's okay. It's not a big deal.
Nikki, you could correct me if I get the facts wrong, but if I remember correctly, you're at like a Raw, or you were a DJ at a Raw,
mm-hmm.
And then directly right behind you, some jackass starts waving this sign. It has something to do with Chris Benoit being a better daddy than somebody else.
Oh, my God. Was this before or after?
I think it was after.
It was likely after.
It was way after.
The sign that read, "Chris Benoit is my real father. I'm glad he didn't know."
Yeah.
It wasn't in front of me, but it was a sign that was posted apparently it got on camera. And it got posted on the O board, and I was just appalled. I don't like stuff like that.
I'm sorry, I had to check something. Could you just give a quick recap of what you just said?
It was a sign that was held up during a RAW that said, "Chris Benoit is my real father. I'm glad he didn't know."
Oh, man. That's just not right.
No, it's not. Actually, the guys that I was having trouble with, Seidelman.
Yeah.
You want idiot fans, guys? Here we go. I was at a SmackDown taping in Columbus. This was a Sunday SmackDown, like they're having next month.
Mm-hmm.
There's these idiots in front of me with blank poster board and markers, putting random stupid shit on poster board to see if they could get it on TV.
Wait, they actually brought the stuff with them.
Yeah, they brought it into the arena, and they were just drawing the signs on the fly.
There's nothing wrong with that. Whiteboard Mafia does that on Velocity Pro Wrestling, as long as they're smart about it.
See, but the problem was that they were trying to put up dirty stuff that they're not supposed to put on TV. They were doing stuff like drawing boobs and writing cuss words just to see if they would get into camera shot.
Did security at least get them out of there at some point, or?
No, they just stood in front of them, and every time they held up the poster board, they would just grab the poster board. They didn't throw them out. I was waiting for them to get thrown out.
What do you have to do to get thrown out?
Here's what you have to do to get thrown out. At least at a women's hockey game, take a giant poster that says "We suck" all over it, and post it on the back of the away team's bench. That'll get you thrown out.
Laser pens get the wrong people thrown out. We had a laser pen apparently popped up in my section in Indianapolis, and two guys near us got grabbed, and they did not. If they had it, I would have been surprised. They did not. There was no way. We were looking at the angle. So the only thing that's worse than idiot fans is idiot security.
That is true.
Well, guess what? I'm watching SmackDown right now, and we got the debut of one half of the Bella Twins.
Don't worry, they're both there. Keep watching.
Somehow I think Vince is going to get his incest storyline with the Bellas. I have that horrible feeling.
No.
Sure.
I thought he was going to get it with Paul Burchill and Katie Lee.
Out the window, they're not doing it.
And away goes their push.
You notice.
Yeah.
Soon enough, Paul Burchill's going to show up in the impact zone.
Shh.
As Buccaneer Burchill.
Yay!
Okay. And again, see what you just said with all due respect. I love when fans try to talk shit like they know stuff and they don't. That's another moron fan aspect.
And I had one in Canton that I would have beaten the hell out of in the parking lot if I thought I got away with it.
You know, it was just like, you know, again, like, oh, Hulk Hogan's going to be here tonight, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
You know, if you're going to lie about something, make it something that, you know, is at least believable.
Seriously.
I mean, like, you know, Mike Adamley's GM of Raw, make it somewhat believable, like, let's say we're in Miami, Florida.
Okay.
Let's say Larry Zonka's backstage talking to Adamley.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody will mention Larry Zonka's going to appear on Raw tonight. You know, if Larry Zonka's backstage, that would be kind of believable. However, if they're going to do something stupid like Siren's going to be appearing on Raw with Mike Adamley, then that's just idiotic altogether for three reasons. Well, the big one is, A, Siren is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm shocked that one didn't make it onto GameShowNewsNet.com. Where you could read Jason Block's column, The Block Party.
Thank you. When did this happen?
February 2008.
Wow. This is one of the, like, old gladiators who passed away?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I missed it. We missed it.
I think everybody missed it.
Mm-hmm. I did.
But yes, I understand where you're coming from. It's just more moronic stuff. I mean, it's
yeah.
It's just, you know.
Go ahead. No, I was gonna go on to the next set of moron fans, and that is the Uber haters.
Say that again.
The Uber haters, and this is going back to those two dicks in Canton. I wish they were listening, because the first time I went to Canton, when they finally started going back, when it was a Raw show, and their plan was to chant against Cena when he pulled into the parking lot and cost all the fans who came early a chance to get a picture with him. And the fact that these are the guys that if they were on the show and heard about Cena's broken neck, they would say good riddance. These are guys that hate beyond the boo, he's a bad guy. Now, I admit sometimes I go a little overboard with Orton, but these guys were dedicated to their hatred of Cena.
You know what, though? Honestly speaking, there's nothing wrong. Before you shoot me here.
Okay.
There are a couple of wrestling personalities that I have there's actually just very few that I really dislike. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of which is Stephanie McMahon.
Okay.
Okay. Because of one comment she said, if you remember correctly, during the 9/11 tribute show.
All right.
She compared her father's steroid trial to the attack on 9/11.
Hold that thought, Jason.
Okay.
Whoa!
You do remember
that. No, I'm with Jason on that one.
Okay. First of all, number one, everyone else was classy in what they did. McMahon was the C word in this particular case, and I don't use that word often, and I'm sorry. Okay, and I apologize, because I usually don't use that word in mixed company, Nikki. I apologize. I really do. Okay?
I understand.
What?
No.
He's referring to a female body part that starts with C.
I know. I just felt like causing trouble.
Yeah. No, because I don't like to use that word, but it just really disturbed me when she said that. And
George Carlin's secondary words that
Yeah. But I'm just saying, it was just horrible what she did. And in this particular case, she does not earn my respect. Now, I have a friend of mine who thinks Triple H is the worst thing to happen to wrestling. I mean, I have a personal abject hatred to Hulk Hogan, for example. Okay? Because I think he ruined professional wrestling for a long time. But it doesn't mean that I am going to go out of my way to ruin the experience for other fans.
Which is what these two were doing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can hate on these people. And first of all, Orton's a gay fuck who doesn't know what he's... No, I'm sorry. Allegedly gay fuck. Yeah.
The people at One Night Stand 2006 would agree.
Yes, exactly. Yes, allegedly gay fuck who, you know, who doesn't know when to get off motorcycles. I know he likes riding things, but that's beside the point.
Wow, and I thought I hated him.
Oh, please, we make houseboat jokes about him, but that's beside the point. But yeah, I mean, there's a difference between booing and cheering and just, I mean, you know, do you really know these people? You don't know these people.
Exactly.
I mean, I busted ass with indie wrestlers all the time. Some of them can be, and the couple of people who I dislike, they've just been idiots to me. Most of the indie wrestlers I've worked with have been really nice people. You know, and most of the WWE people have been really, 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 really cool. You know? So you don't, buying a ticket does not give you the right to be a douchebag. Okay? The First Amendment doesn't give you a right to be a douchebag.
Thank you.
Okay.
I have a bit of an announcement to make.
Yeah.
Very possibly in 4 months I may be moving. And if it goes through, there will be some changes happening to the show.
Such as?
I will be moving to Spring City, Pennsylvania.
You're moving eastward?
Yep.
Okay.
Thereby, we will probably be moving the show from 11 p.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern.
I'm good with that.
I'm all right with that.
And we finally will have detailed SmackDown information for you.
There you go. Now, speaking of which, why don't we go into that and end the, because I think we've talked about idiots long enough.
Oh, well, I had a good peace of mind to talk about Sid Vintage and The Price is Right, but we could save that for We Love to Interrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do SmackDown.
Sorry, I just think it's bullshit for what they're probably going to do to Drew.
That's rumored. Rumored?
Yeah, rumored.
Rumored, and I would not put, and we wouldn't put that on because that's a rumor. We do not put on on our site unconfirmed.
Rumor control.
You understand that, right?
Yeah, I understand that completely.
And again, unconfirmed news does not go. So there you go. Anyway, back then.
Let me get up.
I've got my pictures. I'm working on my pictures right now, so I can help.
Nikki was in the crowd.
I was behind the announcers, and the only time you would have seen me is during the second announcer close-up, and you'd see me in the upper right-hand corner behind a guy in a baseball cap that he's wearing backwards.
Mm-hmm.
He turns back and is probably bitching at me because I kept telling him to sit down. I reiterate, you're 6'5". I cannot see around you. To fill in, dark matches for the evening, Jake Hager defeated Jamie Noble. He also injured Jamie Noble, so they better ship him back down to developmental and teach him how to handle himself. Funaki gets a win over Nick Nemeth, who is looking more and more like the gun by the day.
I think this is shipping up for his natural Nick Nemeth.
Right. People are probably not going to notice right off, because I'm the only one who seems to geek about referees, is that we had two brand new referees working, both ECW and SmackDown. Since we can't talk about next week's SmackDown, because it hasn't aired yet, but I will bring this up. I don't know his on-air name right now, but Goose Mahoney, a longtime OVW referee and transplant to Florida Championship Wrestling, is now an ECW ref. And OVW, another longtime OVW guy that got shipped south, has been called up to TV, and that is Kevin Keenan, who is a new SmackDown referee.
That opens up some doors for our good friend Shane Matthews.
Yeah, who is still working his way to get a door to open for him, and at the rate he's going, that door's going to fly open and smack him in the nose. let's see, SmackDown. Now, some stuff we didn't see, but that did end up on TV. A lot of stuff when it came to Vicky Guerrero. The show opened with Undertaker's grand entrance.
Yeah, we saw that's the way the show opened on our stuff.
To which Undertaker spoke to Vicky Guerrero, simply telling her he has no plans in forgiving her for what he's been through for the last few months. They kept cutting back to the locker room area where Vicky and the clones and Chavo and Bam are watching. And Undertaker simply tells her that she is going to burn in hell. Drop Sunny in tribute, and the ring posts catch fire.
On the AIM chats and the WrestleCraft forums, I joke that he put a burn notice on her.
Okay, that deserves the epic. Thank you.
Epic win. Thank you. Thank you. Because that is awesome.
And then we finally get the debut of Ron the Truth Killings.
Which, unfortunately, he was met with a huge round of indifference. I felt so bad for him because they popped for him huge in Detroit. Nothing here.
They popped for him huge in Albany.
Huh?
They popped huge in Albany for him.
Like I said, they loved him in Detroit, and here in Pittsburgh, they were like, who?
I guess Pittsburgh isn't a big R-Truth type of group. And then after that decent match, Vicky Guerrero was shown in the dressing room flipping out. She throws her phone. What does she hit, mind you?
The magazine cover with Undertaker's picture on it.
If that isn't a sign of things to come.
Well, she was freaking out because the clones and Chavo and Bam left. They locked the door on her, and the phone doesn't work. So she's stuck, and Undertaker's still in the building. I'd be freaking out, too.
Yeah.
I'd try anything. I'd try knocking the door down. I'd do something.
I'd be crawling under the concrete. Because let me tell you, Undertaker's a scary looking dude.
Very, 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 very. I mean, after DJ called me right after he actually met the Undertaker, and he said he was still shaking. And that was a friendly encounter.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to meet this guy in a dark alley on Halloween night.
Nope.
Then we get a nice little promo from Michelle McCool doing her photo shoot thing, because she's loving life.
And enjoying her pretty, pretty princess belt.
Yeah. And Maryse interrupts and claims that she will be a Divas champion.
She can have it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. Unless we get two women wrestlers in there for that Divas Championship, nobody will care. It's just a prop. I think Vince Russo is right on this case. It's a prop.
Well, the only reason Michelle McCool has it does not have anything to do with The Undertaker. I think they originally slated it for Natalya, and she told her dad about it. He looked at that, and he says, if I ever see you wearing that piece of shit, I'm going to tear up your contract.
Yeah, right.
Like as he tugs at his beard.
Yeah.
And so does she. But anyway.
All right.
Wow. Sorry, it just came out.
Wow.
No, actually, she's a very pretty young woman and actually can wrestle her ass off, so.
Man, I could have met her on Tuesday if I had the whole day off, damn it.
Jeff Hardy is backstage with 2007 Diva Search winner Eve Torres.
Who?
He says he's got... Huh?
I just asked who? Sort of sarcastically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy beats MVP. Hardy got the win via pinfall hitting a Swanton Bomb. After the match, the gold standard comes out and just destroys Hardy and MVP.
That was well done, I have to admit.
It was. The only downer of the match, and this actually did make it to air, Jeff Hardy slipped on his first attempt at a Whisper in the Wind and practically came down 100% on his neck.
Yeah, I saw that. They actually showed that.
I was surprised that made it to air. I really was. I thought that they were just, MVP improvised. They got back into the swing of things, and he did the Whisper in the Wind again.
And
but
then,
go ahead.
And then several players from the Steelers are shown on camera.
Well, if you look closely, you can see Bear standing behind them.
Sadly, Bear is the more athletic of the entire Pittsburgh Steelers lineup. And Bear is the 911. Bear is to 911 as Nikki Haymon is to Paul Heyman.
That's true. He is my bodyguard and my Sherpa and my chauffeur.
Whatever Sherpa means.
He carries my shit. He doesn't have to carry me, but he has to carry all my stuff.
So he's your Tony Atlas.
Okay.
How dare you?
Sorry, Mushmouth.
Bear can talk.
What?
Bear at least knows how to handle a microphone.
Yeah, yeah.
And plus, he also knows how to use a cell phone.
He kind of, but he doesn't own one. Working on it.
Jesse and Festus versus the Edgeheads. Actually, we're going to quick call them the clones, Edgeheads. Hawkins and Ryder is what they're technically called now.
Bah, clones.
Okay, clones. The match ends in disqualification when the Big Show runs out and cleans house. He simply calls it an oversight.
My bad. Oops. I love the Big Show when he's goofy.
Big Show's a good guy. Yeah. I love when he's goofy like that. Oops. Sorry. Didn't know my own strength.
Then we get what I just watched. Brie Bella defeats Victoria.
But I don't think it was Brie Bella that came out from under the ring when Brie dove under there.
Now, I know what it's supposed to be. Do you think they actually used the other twin, or do you think she was back at the hotel room or something?
I think they used the other twin because of the way the match ends.
Yeah.
Essentially, Victoria had been whipping Brie Bella all over the ring. She falls out of the ring, tries to dive underneath, actually gets all the way underneath. Victoria reaches and grabs somebody's leg, supposedly pulls out Brie, rolls her back in the ring. She plays dead. When Victoria gets in the ring, she Bella grabs Victoria, rolls her up, and wins.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me.
And then we have the Brian Kendrick cutting what could be considered the promo of the night that is not a promo from the Undertaker.
And this was a very close second for promo of the week.
Great promo, by the way.
And just for the subtlety in the background, did you notice? Well, the Brian Kendrick had a beautiful hardcover copy of The Art of War.
Right.
Mr. Zeke was reading something a little more his speed, like Cat in a Hat.
Are you serious or kidding?
I'm serious. When he turns the pages, you can see the illustrations. YouTube it if you don't believe me, but it was Cat in a Hat.
And finally, Triple H beats Shelton Benjamin.
Match of the week.
It was a fun match. I will give you that, but I think Hunter and Shelton have amazing chemistry.
By the way, I remember a classic. I remember a WrestleCrap signature had Booker and Shelton from U.S. Acres from Garfield and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Booker says, "I was the 5-time WCW champion." Shelton says, "Yeah, but I've been Triple H." And then Booker says, "You didn't just say that.
Tell me.
You didn't just
you
say
did
that.
Not just say that." When, let's see, in the wrap up for that match, the Great Khali had come out supposedly to distract Hunter, but Hunter didn't care and finished the match, and then got up and started daring Khali to get in the ring with him. Khali didn't budge because this wasn't a run-in, this was a walk-in. So Hunter keeps daring him, completely forgetting about Shelton, who went back, grabbed his U.S. title, and clobbered Hunter. Now Khali will come in, and he choke bombs Hunter. That's where the in-ring stuff for the show ends. They did one last little piece that the live crowd didn't see this, but they went back to Vicky one more time on tonight's broadcast. She's still locked in the office. She still doesn't know what to do, and the lights go out.
And she screams like a girl.
And she screams like the little bitch she is until we go off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Now, meanwhile, back in the arena, Khali thinks that he's taking care of business, and he starts lumbering back up the ramp. Hunter flops against the ropes and motions for a microphone, which somebody hastily hands over to him. And he dares Khali to come back. Is that all you've got? Is that all? Do you really think that's all it's going to take to beat me? Let's see what else you got. Let's have a little street fight. I'll even put the belt on the line. So we had our after-show dark match main event was Khali versus Triple H, supposedly in a Pittsburgh street fight, but Khali doesn't know much about weaponry. And Hunter didn't need...
Isn't his fist like the size of griddles?
Yeah, so Khali really doesn't need a weapon, and to be honest, it never really spilled out of the ring. So the two of them brawled for a bit, and Khali ends up tangled in the ropes, which is one of his three very good moves.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter looks over at him and decides that, you know, thinks he wants to clobber him. Crowd starts demanding that he use something a little stronger than his bare fist. Hunter looks around and realizes maybe they're right. Climbs out of the ring and goes and gets his favorite tag team partner, Sweet Lady Sledge. I have a beautiful picture of him holding Sledgey up and admiring.
Mm-hmm.
Oedipal much? Freudian, rather?
It is rather Freudian. He gets in the ring, and unfortunately, by this time, Khali has more or less recovered, so they go back and forth for a little bit. Khali throws Hunter around to the pool, but one of his throws lands Hunter right next to Sledgey. So at that point, they bring on the double team and knock him out.
Right.
And that's how Hunter sent everybody home quite happy.
Yes.
Cool.
We have some time left before we're cut off.
All right.
So I thought we'd do something kind of interesting.
All right.
Florida Championship Wrestling results.
Oh,
really?
Cool. Go for it.
Yeah.
Bring it.
Now, this is the second official TV taping.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing this with one hard camera and two other cameras. So this is kind of harking back to the good old 80s TV studio style of professional wrestling.
Why not? All right. That's fine.
Yes, the first match was Colt Cabana doing Sterling Jack Gabriel.
All right.
So I guess, yeah. And he's got new trunks now. Uh-oh. Scotty Goldman does all of this, still does all of his comedy stuff, but now he's wearing new trunks. D.H. Smith defeats Carnival Freak Sin Bodie. Sin Bodie come off and started working over Steve Smith's back, which, to be honest, has been pretty beat up over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Diana Hart was there again, along with Harry Bulldog Smith's girlfriend.
All right.
And, of course, big pop from that section. D.H. Smith wins via the Running Power Slam. Colt Cabana won his match with a sunset flip from the second row. T.J. Wilson, which is the other half of the Stampede Bulldogs, beats Alpha Jr.
Yep.
How about this for an innovative move? Hitting a vertical suplex.
All right.
Into a neck breaker.
Ooh.
Ow.
Like that.
That'll get him on TV.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a solid finisher.
Oh. Out of some of the pictures I've seen from Florida Championship Wrestling, I need to get my hands on some video for Sin Bodie. He is such a freaky looking guy. I don't understand why he's not on TV yet.
Then we get to Drew McIntyre defeating Ryan Braddock.
AKA
Midway Monster Jay Bradley.
Yeah. Drew wins the match with a weak face plant for the pin.
Mm.
It was a garbage match.
That's a shame, because Drew's got an awesome look, and he needs to be on TV.
It wasn't Drew's fault. It was Braddock's fault.
Mm.
Florida Tag Team Champions Nick Nemeth and Gavin Spears, a.k.a. Sean Spears,
yep,
defeated Primo Colon and Eric Perez. It was said here that Primo Colon is a much better worker in FCW and has been there for a while, so he's adapted to the talent there. He just needs to learn how to adapt to the talent on Raw.
Right.
Eric and Eddie use double teams to work over Gavin Spears, and Spears is a really good seller. However, Nemeth wrestles and dresses too much like Billy Gunn.
So is he going to take over as the effeminate weirdo of WWE?
I think Nemeth could pull it off.
Yeah. Battle of two people, I don't know. Angela defeats Daisy. These are FCW divas.
I got nothing.
Vladimir Kozlov defeats Kafu. Kafu is SCW's MMA fighter.
Okay.
Stu Sanders defeated Ian Richardson. The crowd was completely dead. Then we get Vic Adams versus Kevin Kiley.
Alright.
Vic Adams was in a tag team with Charles Evans, but he was released.
Well, I was hoping that Evans was going to get somewhere, but
Let's see here. Sheamus O'Shaughnessy defeated Tyrone Jones, Gabe Tuft, and Johnny Curtis in a fatal four-way to become number one contender to Jake Hager's title.
Jake Hager is their title holder. Oh,
yes.
Lord.
I think we can assume that in the next set that Sheamus O'Shaughnessy is going to become the new champion.
Okay.
And finally, Beth Phoenix and Natalya Neidhart defeat the Bella Twins.
I'm sorry, I missed that match.
That would have been fun to see.
Oh, and Beth and Natalya Neidhart win with a heart attack.
Oh, very nice.
For those that remember, it is Jim Neidhart with a bear hug, you know, and then Bret Hart would come off the ropes and hit him with like a reverse bulldog, like a clothesline drop, something like that.
Mhm.
And that's the heart attack.
The question is, was Natalya doing her dad's thing, or was she doing Bret's thing?
Her dad's thing, because Beth is more speedy than Natalya. However, both of them can pull off Jim the Evil Neidhart quite effectively, and with me yawning, because I only got about 2 hours worth of sleep.
I think it's time to end it.
Yes,
yeah.
It is time to end it, and ladies and gentlemen, be sure to watch Jason Block on Catch 21 Saturday night, 10 p.m. on GSN.
Thank you.
Also, visit NikkiHammond.com.
Coming shortly.
Listen to the WrestleCrap Sports page with VRM.
NFL special next week, 8 p.m., 2-hour show. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah. And if you're bored on Tuesday night, watch ECW and watch for me behind Grish and Stryker.
Cool.
And finally, we have Forf, who next week will... Wait a minute.
Tomorrow.
I believe, isn't Raw being taped Sunday, correct?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Is SmackDown being taped tomorrow night?
I believe they're both going on in...
Yeah, both of them international tours. So that does it for tonight, folks. Jason Block, Nikki Hammond, VRM, and Forth. I am Robert Salomon saying, I need sleep.
Good night, all.
Night.
Good night. Sleep tight.
Good night.
Have wrestling dreams.
Night. Well, it's my birthday. Hooray.
Happy birthday. Get some sleep.
Happy birthday. You go to sleep now.
Thank you.